You know, I grew up in a home of two school teachers. My mom and dad were both school teachers. One of the realities of that was when it was school time, they had to leave early in the morning, earlier than we kids did. And so they had a habit of hiring a babysitter / housekeeper who would be with us in the morning before we went to school. And then actually it started when my sister was even before school age, so hung out with my sister all day long and then would be there in the afternoon when we got home from school until my folks would get home later. One of those who lasted quite a while, I think she was there with us for a couple of years, was a gal named Mary Landy. Her husband was in the Army. He was stationed at Fort Ord, which was right next to Marina, where I grew up in California. And I remember her as a kind young woman for whom her relationship with God was very important. She showed me something of what it means to live in an ongoing day-by-day relationship with God, just in the way she did things, the things she said while she was with us. I remember one day I said a bad word. Honestly, I don't even remember what the word was. But she didn't get mad. Her face just fell. She was truly shocked and saddened. "That makes God very sad," she said. But her face has already sent the message. 60 years later, and I haven't forgotten what her character showed me that day. Mrs. Howard was the wife of the pastor of the congregational church that my family went to when I was growing up in Central California. Fifth grade Sunday school. And I remember one day in Sunday school, I don't remember any of our Sunday school lessons when I was growing up. I remember I was a rascal, and there was another kid there was also a rascal, and we were rascals together. I do remember that. But I do remember this one day when I heard her having a conversation with another adult who came into the classroom. This was not in the curriculum. And I remember her talking to this other person while we kids were sort of sitting there, and I happened to be paying attention this time. And she was talking about God as though he were a real person, really active in her life right then. And for me as a, I don't know, fifth grader, fourth grader, it struck me. Maybe the Holy Spirit was there just using that moment, but the fact that here is this woman talking about God like he was right there with us, like he was actually guiding her life, that like he was a resource, somebody that she talked to, suddenly struck me. Wow. This God we talk about in church is present and active. And from this woman and her life, her character, her relationship with God, I received that message that day, and I remember it to this day. Jim Wildman was a young man fresh out of military service. He was had been, I guess, a member of our church, later church, a Presbyterian church now in Salinas, California. And he decided that he wanted to hang out with some high school guys, of which I was one. And for the next couple of years, he would hang out with us. We'd meet with him, talk about things, you know, important things like classical music and cars and girls and Jesus. And he was especially keen to know how I was doing in my relationship with Jesus. Just spent time with us, mostly just gave time, me and a few of my friends. Every week we'd meet with him. Sometimes we'd do special activities with him. And he wasn't a staff guy. He wasn't the youth leader. He just was a guy who was hanging out with us. Then later, that stopped because he went to be a missionary in South Africa. He was sent, and so was his life message to me. Later, when I started doing ministry, I was a youth and music director at the University of Covenant Church in Davis, California. And one of the things that struck me there was there were college students that went to that church. I wasn't that far out of college. And I met college students, several of them, who were talking about their college education as preparation for the ministry that God wanted them to do. They were going to college to get training so that they could go serve in another part of the world or in some way that would be beneficial to God and his kingdom. College students! I had been a college student. That had not been on my radar at all. I was in college to pursue the things I wanted to pursue and the career that I was interested in. And yeah, sure, it'd be great that, you know, I believe in God and I'm going to church and God would come along behind me and, you know, bless the things I'm doing. It was only later in life when I realized that I was going to be much better off to say, hey, God, how about if you lead and let me have the courage and the wisdom to follow you? But here were these college students doing that with their lives, preparing for ministry and mission to the glory of God and the furtherance of his kingdom. Character, message sent, message received. You know, messages can be intentional or otherwise, but we're sending them all the time. Amen? Paul sent an intentional message, a letter, to the Christians who gathered together in Philippi, the church he had founded, and you can read about that back in Acts 16. The letter was preserved and productively used in churches that sprang up all over the Mediterranean world and then beyond. Copied and shared through the centuries, this intentional message from Paul and from his trusted partner in the gospel, Timothy, a letter most likely delivered by another Christian brother named Epaphroditus, is still being read and studied today, like here and now. As part of this letter, Paul commends these two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, and calls the Philippian believers to pay attention to their character, to honor them, receive them well, and by implication, to follow their example. These two have something to say to you, Paul is saying, and in so doing, he suggests to us something of great importance. Human character is a message-bearing reality in our world. The self-giving goodness and courage Christ is developing in his followers shines a light of hope and health to those around them. Our text for today is Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. Hear the word of God. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like you who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Let's pray. Lord, here we are once again in your house to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we're also here to hear from you, to commune with you, for you are with us. Lord Jesus, you are the risen Savior. You are alive and well and present and powerful. And so, Lord, we pray that through your word today, you might give us something that will matter to us, that will make a difference for us, that will help us to be your people. And to be those that are serving you by sending the message that comes through the lives that we live. And we pray this in your name and for your sake. Amen. So why does Paul launch suddenly into this travel plan itinerary? It's different than the rest of the letter. And all of a sudden now we're hearing about these guys and his plans to send them. Well, Paul wants to keep the Philippian church informed to know what to expect. Their relationship is of vital importance to the apostle. He wants them to be ready to receive Timothy as his fully authorized representative, to hear and submit to his teaching and instruction. He wants them to know what has been happening with their church member, Epaphroditus, who has traveled all the way to where he is imprisoned. Probably Rome. Some people think it might be Caesarea, and there's theories about where else it might be. But Epaphroditus has made the trip. But such personal details are usually reserved for the end of Paul's letters. In fact, some people think that what we have in Philippians, this is the kind of stuff that folks that get degrees in theology and Bible stuff like to do. The idea is that, well, probably the letter actually did end here, some people would say. And what we have now is sort of a mash together of various letters. I don't believe that. Most of the commentators and scholars that I follow don't believe that. So still, the question, why has he put it here? Well, Paul has been urging the Philippians to follow the way of Christ, the way of humility, to have the Savior's mind. Timothy and Epaphroditus provide good real-life examples for the church to follow in these things. The character of Timothy and Epaphroditus, men following Jesus and serving Paul, shines for others to see. You see, human character is a message-bearing reality in our world. The self-giving goodness and courage Christ is developing in his followers shines a light of hope and health to those around them. Paul suggests that Timothy and Epaphroditus provide us with fine examples to notice and appreciate and follow. But this does not mean that he is calling us to conform to some narrow, straitjacket ideal of Christian discipleship, to become Christian clones of some kind. Even with a modicum of information, we can see that these two men are very different in several ways. And I've put a little information for you in your bulletin, in your sermon outline there, a little bit of compare and contrast between Timothy and Epaphroditus. If you want to follow along with that. First of all, their name. Timothy is a name in Greek that means one who honors God. Timaeus and Theos. Theos meaning God. It shows that Timothy comes from some kind of a religious Jewish background. The name Epaphroditus. Do you see another name in there somewhere? Aphrodite. You've heard of Aphrodite? The goddess of love, beauty, very much a pagan god. Had her own temples, had her own followers and worshipers. Won't go into details about that because I'm not here to teach paganism. But Epaphroditus means literally a favorite of Aphrodite. That's the name that he was given, which sort of indicates, don't know for sure because we don't get a whole lot of details about him, but that he came from some kind of pretty solidly pagan background. These guys come from very different worlds. And yet, Paul is commending both of them as examples for the Christians to look at, to notice, and to follow. Timothy, well, you find his name all over the New Testament. He's in the book of Acts. Paul meets him, finds in him a man of special character and dedication to Jesus. He becomes really Paul's right-hand man for much of Paul's ministries that we read about. We find him appearing in other parts of the world with Paul. He has two letters that are part of God's Word, the canon of Scripture, two letters that have his name on them, letters that Paul wrote to him. His name is also attached to several other letters that Paul wrote as co-senders of those letters, letters like Philippians, Epaphroditus. We know about him only because of this section, these few verses in Philippians. And then his name is mentioned also at the end of the letter. That's it. One guy, kind of heavyweight star. The other, kind of a temporary co-worker. It's interesting. Paul calls Timothy his son. The relationship he has with him is very intimate, very important to Paul. He calls him like a son with a father. Epaphroditus is the Philippians apostle, emissary, messenger, the Philippians messenger to Paul. Relationship with the Philippians, relationship with Paul, different. Qualifications? Well, Timothy has a proven record of ministry with Paul. Things that Paul saw in him as a young man that continue to manifest themselves as they minister together. Epaphroditus, well, he has the Philippian church's commission to go and join Paul's team, to be of service, to provide for him, to help him. Results? Well, with Timothy, ongoing fruitful mission with Paul. Some people believe and call Timothy the first bishop of Ephesus. Others say that's a bit anachronistic, but in any case, he was an important person in the life of the church and may indeed have had some position later of authority in the life of the church. Epaphroditus, well, let's be honest. Apparently, he's kind of failing in his mission to Paul. He was supposed to come and join the team. He was supposed to come and be of fruitful service, ongoing service with Paul as Paul continues to minister from being in jail. He got sick. God was showing his goodness and power through Timothy's faithful, active, and willful activities with Paul. God was showing his goodness and power through Epaphroditus' faithful and courageous acceptance of a difficult assignment. Traveling in those days was not easy. But also, and especially, in the resulting passive role he found himself in as God brought healing from a serious illness as he was far from home. Paul praises God for the healing that he brings to Epaphroditus. Mercy that Paul himself wouldn't have sorrow upon sorrow if he had died, and apparently he was close to doing so. And Epaphroditus was in that position because he was faithfully following what God had called him to do through the church in Philippi. And this call was not resulting in, ta-da! Epaphroditus lights the Epaphroditus ministry. All the churches that exist today as churches of Epaphroditus didn't happen. He didn't even complete well the assignment that he had right then to just be of help to Paul. Instead, he got sick. And yet, God showed his goodness and greatness and power through him, a completely different way than he was showing and would show with Timothy, right? To the disappointment of all involved, says Gerald Hawthorne in his Philippians commentary, to the disappointment of all involved, and contrary to previous expectations, Epaphroditus must go home to Philippi immediately. Paul anticipated problems at Philippi over Epaphroditus' unexpected return. He's anticipating people ask, what are you doing back here? You were supposed to go help Paul. And so Paul is letting him know, hey, this guy is the real deal. You should honor him. He almost died because he was faithful to God. Now it seems right and proper for me to send him back to you. God be praised. So the current assignment is that Timothy is going to be a messenger that will be sent from Paul pretty soon from now, since Paul's in prison and he can't come himself. And Epaphroditus is now being sent with a letter, apparently, as a new member of Paul's team. He's not being sent back. He is being sent by Paul as part of his team back to Philippi. And he has a purpose. And it's interesting to me. Our perspective is, what's the really important thing going on here? Well, there's a lot of important things. Paul's ongoing ministry, the gospel is going out. But for us, the thing that's not even mentioned is pretty important, isn't it? Because Epaphroditus, yeah, I'm sending him back. Seems good to me to send him back. What's he got with him? Philippians! I mean, Paul wasn't thinking, you better hang on to this, buddy. This is important because it's going to be part of God's word later on for Christians all over the world. No idea, right? That all happened later. And yet, Epaphroditus has this really important role of safely traveling back to Philippi with this letter from Paul, which is about what's going on with him and about having humility like Jesus. It's about Christian instruction. But that letter got delivered, received, read, listened to, copied, etc., etc. Rest is, as they say, history. Epaphroditus, the failure. Looking at these two men, even with limited information, we can also see some essential similarities as well. And these are characteristics we would all do well to emulate. And again, if you look in your sermon notes there, Timothy and Epaphroditus, they're both Christian brothers with Paul, followers of Jesus. That's important. Both, interestingly enough, it doesn't say this, but you can read this in other parts of the scriptures in the book of Acts and in 2 Timothy. Both are men who were influenced by women of faith. Timothy's mother and grandmother, Eunice and Lois, are mentioned by Paul as women of faith who have taught Timothy. Timothy's father apparently was Greek. We don't know much more about him, but wasn't a Jew, perhaps was not the one that passed on good religious truth and instruction to Timothy. His mother and his grandmother did that. And then in the case of Epaphroditus, he's from Philippi, and the Philippian church was begun in the home of a woman named Lydia, a seller of cloth. She was that first important convert, and really the church of Philippi was begun in her home. Both of these men have been influenced by these women of faith. For both of these men, faith in Jesus is demonstrated in action. These are guys who have given their lives, literally and almost completely in Epaphroditus' case, for the service of Jesus and the ongoing hearing, sharing, receiving of the good news of Jesus. They both have Christ-like humility, and Paul mentions it, selfless, sacrificial servants for the work of the gospel. These are real men, clay vessels filled with the glory of God. Men whose life circumstances, positive choices and difficult challenges, successful endeavors and unmet expectations, provided their Lord with a beautiful theater for the display of his goodness and power. And Paul says they are men to be welcomed and honored and imitated, I would add, in the church. Paul wants the Philippians to see Timothy and Epaphroditus as their brothers in Christ, but in light of their struggles to combat distracting and disunifying patterns of behavior in their church, and with the ultimate example of Christ before them all, he also wants the church to see these two co-workers as significant message men. I think this is why Paul mentions them here, on the heels of his exhortations to humility after the example of Christ. Real people can follow Jesus with life-changing faith and life-risking action, he seems to be saying. We can become more and more like Jesus. Just look at Timothy and Epaphroditus. Their lives of faith bring a message to the Philippians, and they bring a message to us. And today, as followers of Jesus have done throughout the centuries, we are working together here not to overlook this message of real-life Christian discipleship. I can tell you in my early years of reading through Philippians, and it was, oh, Philippians is my favorite book. A lot of people say that. The Epistle of Joy, have this mind in you that is also in Christ Jesus, and this wonderful Christ hymn about how Jesus came down all the way down to death, crucifixion, and then raised up the name above all these great parts. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. A lot of people, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, that's coming up. Philippians is my favorite book. I've never heard anybody say, Philippians is my favorite book because it has Timothy and Epaphroditus. Never heard that one. But Paul puts it in there for a reason. And what I know now, better than I did when I was much younger in studying the Bible, is these two are men worth looking at and worth imitating. And these two men, as I said, provide very different pictures of what it looks like and what the results will be of being a follower of Jesus. Maybe great success, maybe not. Neither of those matter one bit from a heavenly perspective. From an eternal perspective, what matters is who you're doing it for, whose glory you're seeking after, and who you're trying to be obedient to. That is what really matters, and that's what both of these guys had. Apparently, Paul seems to think so. We don't want to overlook the message of real-life Christian discipleship that they bring to us. And I hope we are also taking to heart something else, something of great importance, and a good concluding thought for us this morning. We are all like Timothy and Epaphroditus in at least one respect. Like it or not, intentional or otherwise, our characters show in our behaviors, in the choices we make, and the character we exhibit sends a message. We, each of us, all of us together, are sending a message to the world around us every single day just by who we are, what we do, and why we do it, who our Lord and Savior truly is. The message is going out, friends. Sadly, joyously, beautifully, tragically, this is true for all humanity. The way every one of us chooses to live sends a message to all the rest of us. So the real and observable redemptive changes that our Lord and Savior brings to human lives, big and little adjustments to our attitudes and life patterns because of Jesus' example and because our Lord lives in us, become a part of our God's mighty revelation of Himself and of His goodness and power and of His coming kingdom. This was true of Paul's friends and co-workers, Timothy and Epaphroditus. This is true of us as well. Human character is a message-bearing reality in our world. The self-giving goodness and courage Christ is developing in His followers shines a light of hope and health to those around them. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the courage and the faith and the love and the goodness and the power that You are helping us to see and to embrace as part of our own lives. That You are showing us that we can trust in You, and trusting in You, we can be what You've called us, the light of the world, shining for the blessing and benefit of others, and shining for Your glory. Lord, help us to recognize and to affirm those who have been lights to us throughout our life. People whose lives sent a message to us, a message that we received. Lord, help us to be Your message men and message women with courage and faith and trust and confidence that You would be honored and that we would know in greater measure the privilege of being Your partners for Your eternal purposes. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. It's time for us to pray for one another. We encourage you to use your prayer and praises page as we have a few moments of silence where I'll invite you to pray for those who've asked us to pray for them that you see in your covenant connection. And then for others that may be on your heart, on your mind today. And then we'll pray together, and then we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, hear us now as we come to You with our prayers of intercession for those that we know, for those that we care about, for those who have asked us to pray for them. Lord, we trust in You. Hear us now. Lord God, thank You for hearing our prayers. We pray for encouragement for those who need it today. Lord, for people who are struggling with disappointment, people just going through a difficult time in their life right now, we pray that You would bring the comfort that comes by Your Spirit, that You would bring a new perspective that you are with us and that you have good things in store for everyone that has turned to you and trust in you. Lord, we pray for healing where it's needed for people. We pray for those that are in difficult life circumstances of one kind or another, like those serving in the military. Ask for your protection. Pray for our church family as we now begin a search for our new pastor. Lord, help us, guide us. Help us to trust in you. Help us to know that we are now, as we always have been, your people, your church, for your purposes. Help us to lean into the good future that you have for us, ultimately, but also in the years ahead here at Covenant. And help us each, in prayer and in service, to do the parts that you are calling us to do. Kind of like Timothy and Epaphroditus. Hear us now as we share in the special prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.